coming to you for the first time in high def. I want to thank Real Tech Eric. That's at Real Tech Eric on Twitter. I want to thank our Eric the Tech. He's over there. I think he's got malaria. I'm not sure. Got to have him tested. See, he's got a young child, so all the gooey stuff, you know, that they pick up, he gets. So in another day, we're gonna put a bubble. We'll call him Bubble Boy, because you know we can't get it. Boy, we're gonna open this hour to Pastor David Langford from the Voice of Evangelism. That's thevoiceofevangelism.com. He's America's pastor, in my view, and also the pastor of the Hagman and Hagman Report. He's a man that I've got so much respect for. He knows his Bible, he knows the scripture, and he knows it topically and in context. And it's interesting because we see everything taking place right now. As Joe said earlier, the different segment, there's nothing new under the sun, and really there's not. So we're going to be talking to he might as well be. Certainly does more scripture, or is a doctor for the scriptures, shall we say, and helping me understand things. But before we get to Pastor David Langford, I want to ask you, you got your preps. If you don't, you better start. You better keep, make sure your preps are uptight. Don't use this time to just lay off the preps. Part of the preps, an integral part of the preps, is how you're going to cook your food. Because when the lights go out, the power goes out, you don't have anything. Let me tell you, I have the perfect solution for you. This is the official rocket stove of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's Minuteman Rocket Stove. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. It is the perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. It's a biomass burning stove. It's a 50 caliber ammo can design. It's designed, features a self sealing lid. It's got a rubber seal. It's got a carrying handle. Stove only weighs 14 pounds. It travels clean. It travels relatively light. You're not going to have any of the soot or smelling, anything that would, shall we say, stink up your pantry or your car. No, they've taken care of this for you. Minuteman stoves are made in America. And did you know that they're also serving with our troops overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan? These are handmade, battle-proven, extremely rugged. Minuteman stoves, did you know this? They come with a 2-year no-hassle warranty, which, by the way, to date, no one has ever used. Why? Because they're made to last. The Minuteman stove, fully insulated, it directs the heat where you need it. It's heat comparable to a kitchen stove. It can be used on a picnic table because the outside only reaches about 200 degrees. You can pick it up with your hands. But the inside, it's like a kitchen stove. This is the answer. This is the answer for cooking in emergency situations. It's the Minuteman Rocket Stove at MinutemanStove.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out their fire starters, because when matches just won't work and you don't have a lighter to start the stove, you need a fire starter. And they're the best of the best. This is the Cadillac of the stove and fire starter industry. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Without further ado, Joe, Red Spring Pastor David Langford. Yeah.
Pastor Langford, it's great to have you back on the show.
It's a joy to be here with you guys. And, Doug, I don't have a doctorate. I have a Ph.D., a post-hole digger. I know how to use one of those. No offense to anyone listening tonight that does have a legitimate PhD. I always use that as a little element of humor. I can use a set of post-hole diggers very well.
I love it. And you know, to me, there's a big difference between book knowledge and actual practical application. Street smarts, shall we say. Big difference.
You know, we need some common sense, and I watch the frivolity of our leadership. The Democrats won't even show up at these hearings. Have you ever seen such childish display? And they want to use the word germane, decorum, and all of this stuff. They're the biggest hypocrites, two-faced, sniveling serpents that has ever been, and and they're the biggest welfare recipients of anyone, because that's all they do too is live off the people's back. And it's really tragic to think that these people keep getting elected. And, you know, Donald Trump, that's what I want to talk about tonight, because there are so many people bashing him. And I know I'm going to get a boatload of criticism, but you've got false teachers, you've got false preachers that are attacking him. You've got all the liberals. I listened to Cecilia Vega today. She's the White House correspondent for ABC, and she made the statement. She said Steve Bannon was overheard saying that Islam is a religion of submission. And I thought, what an idiot. You see, anybody can look up the word Islam. It means submission or surrender. But they perceive that the general listening, viewing audience in America is so stupid that we don't even know what the word Islam means. And all he was saying was that religion means submission. But he was purportedly overheard saying Islam is a religion of submission. And I thought, you can see the hatred, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. How imperative it is that we hold this man up in prayer. Now, I know you'll be attacked because I'm on the program. I know I will be assassinated verbally, emails, and that's all right, because every time I get one of those people are in the lot with Cora and Dathan and Madonna and, you know, Barbara Streisand. That's who these people are casting their lot with. Now, they would not say they're doing that, but they are. You see, you either are on God's side or you're on their side.
Pastor, let me ask you. Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know that you were busy, and I had an opening statement with our program today, and we have some new listeners here this hour, specifically tuning in to you. Can I just give you about a paragraph of my opening statement since you brought this up?
Because, absolutely.
Okay. All right. And folks, if you didn't hear it and you're just tuning in this hour for Pastor Langford, I did this in the first hour, but here it is. I'm just going to repeat this, and then Pastor Langford can expand on it if he so chooses. But I said this. We've had 8 years of a Muslim-embracing multicultural pansy who sold out this country using many overt tactics while smiling to our faces. Nothing got done, but now it is. We've had 8 years of a Sharia-loving, treacherous, traitorous, constitution-ignoring, lawless, wicked, wretched, warmongering, self-enriching, community activist communist, a Saul Alinsky-loving radical who demanded that we bow to the altar of Muslim conquest, extremism, and subjugation. And we've had a decade of open door, come on in, the water's fine policy, where untold Islamic barbarians have entered this country for one reason and one reason only, to change our constitutional republic into a Mecca of the West. And I said, Pastor, that we've had previous guests on this show who can't simply handle the fact that the status quo of inefficiency, this incestuous relationship, is being replaced by someone who is far from perfect, but far more attentive to our needs than the national embarrassment known as Barack Hussein Obama, a man whose bona fides were proven to be forged. And those guests, by the way, will never be invited back. And I'll just stop there. But you've said it, and you know, the level of ignorance is amazing and astounding. But I thought that kind of fit in with what you were saying.
Well, yeah, you know, sin makes you stupid. You know, I was a sinner, and I you never hear me say we're all sinners saved by grace. I was a sinner before I got saved. Now that I'm saved, I'm a Christian. I'm not a sinner anymore. That is a very poor statement for people to make. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That does not mean I'm perfect. But once I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, I'm not a sinner. Do I still have difficulties? Do I still have growing pains? Do I still miss the mark? Yes. But I certainly do not live a daily life of sin. My lifestyle has changed. You know, the night I gave my heart to the Lord, I laid down the liquor bottle. I laid down the pot, the mescaline, the quaaludes. You know, I did have about a year before I could get to where I could speak without saying a curse word. It took time to, that was the hardest thing because those, vocabularies are hard to totally re-harness. As I told a man the other day, I said, I don't curse anymore. I haven't forgotten the words. I just don't use them anymore because they don't resolve anything. God saves a man's soul and spirit. My flesh has never been saved or redeemed. If it was, why am I growing old? Why is my hair turning gray? That's the curse of sin upon my humanity. That's just part of what life is about now. I'm getting closer to my eternal life every day. I'll be 62 next month. So I'm getting closer to that eternal embracement of which I'm striving and living for that eternal life, not lost without God, but redeemed by God. Ephesians 1 and 13, sealed by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30, until the day of redemption. And that redemption is not the redemption of my spirit, but the redemption of my humanity. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because they knew him not. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as pure. The redeemed, those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, will receive a body just like Christ's body. It is a glorified body. It has flesh, it has bone, but it has no blood, because it's the Spirit of God that will be coursing through our veins, and the Spirit is life. When a person dies, we know they're dead because their spirit leaves their body, and thus they become nothing but a mere corpse, a clay jar that is now empty. It has no life in it because the life is in the Spirit. And so when the Spirit leaves, the body, of course, becomes deceased. And we become a decedent. We no longer exist. But what I wanted to talk about, I didn't mean to get off on that rabbit trail. I want, if the people have their Bibles tonight, to go with me to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. My wife and I broke our fast Sunday. I was checked by the Holy Ghost to do something I have never done in my life. We broke our fast with communion. I served her and myself communion. We knelt down beside the bed and we had communion, and then we went into a time of prayer. And one of the most humbling, fasting of course humbles you, but this is one of the most humbling ways I've ever in my whole life broken a fast, to serve my wife and I communion, a very humbling thing. And I want to say thank you to those who have fasted with us. I know one person fasted the entire month of January. I know of another brother who fasted 21 days. A lot of people have been fasting and praying, Doug and Joe. I want you to know that. And this is what we're going to be talking about. And this is why it's important that you quit listening to certain people and reading things that certain people write, because they do not have a relationship with God. You know, I hear people talk about God, and they write their articles and whatever, but they put no Bible in it. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They just honor God with their mouth. But, you know, you can talk about, you read your Bible, you can talk about, you know, you pray. But do you ever fast? When people fast, they mean business with God when you say, I'm not going to eat. There were cities of refuge that God made for people who may have accidentally killed someone, and they would flee to a city of refuge, and they would go to the temple, and they would hold to the horns of the altar. And that simply meant, I'll either be delivered here or I will die here. And when you get to a place that you'll die doing without food, that's what you're doing. You're dying. You're starving yourself to death because you're saying, I want more of God than I want more of this life. I love God more than this life. And, you know, I never hear ministers anymore speak of that, but yet they'll tell you they're prophets and they're this and they're that. And, you know, it's just a bunch of jargon. That's all it is. There's no substance to it. But I want to read from Exodus 17. I think that's apropos because this is 2017. I felt led to begin at verse 8 because 8 means new beginnings. But this was Israel's first battle after their exodus out of Egypt. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah, God is my banner. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I thought about Trump. Ever since he's been sworn in, it's been nothing but a battle. It began on day one. Moses was the lawgiver. John 1:17 said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Trump said he's going to change laws. Moses was raised up by God to enforce the what we call the Mosaic Law. This nation has laws on the books, but, you know, nobody wants to enforce them or keep them. So just like this lady, I believe her last name was Yates, she was the interim attorney general. She had to be fired because she was willfully disobedient, which is treasonous. She took an oath too that she would, you know, defend the Constitution and the laws of the land. So she was a liar her whole life, as far as I'm concerned, was a lie as well. And so Moses said unto Joshua, now Amalek is a descendant of Esau. Esau is the founding father of the Edomites, which were perpetual enemies of Israel. And this all really began over water. If you'll go back and read the first 7 verses, they were needing water. And during the Exodus, there were those that Moses would approach and say, can we go through your land? We won't take anything. We won't get any water. We won't eat any of your fruit. Just let us go. And they were always telling them no. And they would come and withstand them. Five kings in one portion of the book of Exodus, they collectively came together to make sure that Israel couldn't get through there. And so what I began to see during my time of fasting was how everyone, left, right, Republicans, Democrats, media, they're all going to come against this man. Everyone, for the most part, is going to come against this man. This man, for the most part, is a loner. It's been said even his wife will not even move to the White House. He's standing virtually alone. And as CBN was interviewing him the other day, he mentioned he needed more prayer than ever before. And I want to say to those who are bashing the man, now I'm not a Trump wielding, banner, lauding, extolling person. I'm just telling you that God has done something. And I'm going to pray for the man. I'm going to hold the man up. And you can cast your lot with whoever you want to cast your lot with. But up to this point, this man has kept more of any president I've seen in my lifetime and been more honest so far as any president I have personally seen other than Ronald Reagan. He's trying to do what he said he would do, but of course he's going to face much opposition. Here in verse 9 is the first mention of Joshua. Joshua is another name for Yahshua, Jesus. Joshua was a type of Christ. And Moses makes an appeal to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill. As I said, this was really over water. Now, we all know without water, you just can't live. Water is a type of both the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Jesus said in John 7:38, he that believeth in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speaks of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. David said in Psalms 119:9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So without the word of God, without the Holy Spirit, the church will die. Donald Trump has said he's going to go back and he's going to try to rescind this purported law. I don't know that it's even a law. It's only used when it's to their advantage, but during the Gore and Clinton administration, if you will remember, Al Gore went down to T.D. Jakes' church and stood and promoted himself and Bill Clinton. Well, that's why these men that have 501c3s have fear. Because if you're not supposed to be able to talk about a politician or promote one, is really the clause is you cannot talk about a politician and promote him to be voted for. Well, to let one of the candidates in your pulpit pretty much makes it clear who you want the people to vote for. But they didn't bother them because of course they wanted to win. So of course Bill Clinton would not tell the IRS go after T.D. Jakes. They wanted the black vote, so they didn't bother to go there. So he said, this was by Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1963. So he says, Trump has said the church has lost its voice. He said, I'm going to help you get your voice back to those of you who have fear. He's going to try to get this also overturned. But my point is, this is the first mention of Joshua in the scriptures here in verse 9, which is a type of Christ telling Joshua, you've got to get us men that will fight. And I believe the Lord is calling the church to a battle. The number 45, as I've said before, means preservation. Jehovah, Joshua, Yahushua, is one who defends, one who preserves, one who gets the victory. The victory will be won through us seeking the face and the counsel of God. So he says to Joshua, choose us out men to go and fight. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Now that spoke volumes to me. Why? Where did Trump go, folks? He went to Capitol Hill. He went to a hill and said, you're going to get your voice back. You're going to be heard. I'm going to do everything that I can. And this is why it's incumbent. The burden is on the church now. God has opened the door. God has given us a venue. The door has been opened. Now, what will we do? He said in Revelation 2, I will open a door. No man can shut it. I will shut a door, and no man can shut it, open it. God has opened the door. What are we going to do with the door? I know we're close to the break. I'm going to give it back to you, Joe.
Right on time, Pastor Langford. You hit it right to the second mark with the break.
Well,
there.
Great. Praise the Lord. Shows that I'm anointed tonight.
And, no, it's a fantastic message, you know, starting off with the hate that is in this country. It is certainly spreading like wildfire, to those who are allowing themselves to be caught up in it. Folks, we're talking with Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com. That's thevoiceofevangelism.com. Check out his radio show, The Voice of Evangelism, on Blog Talk Radio, as well as bookmark his website. We'll be right back with Pastor Langford for our final segment right after this.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely. Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our guest is Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. And his book, Revelation 13 Revealed, what a tremendous book. It got me really interested in the book of Revelation. It's just not a book of symbols and such. It makes perfect sense, especially in the context of the current days. I would urge everyone to go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. And, of course, check out not just his books, but the media section there. We've been graced and blessed with a copy of a DVD of the Bible. And it's what a wonderful way to spend some time. Sit down with your wife, your husband, your family, and listen, watch the Bible, and read along with it. What a tremendous, I just can't describe it. It takes your level of understanding of the Bible to a different level. Before we get back to Pastor Langford, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. You remember the stores? Well, perhaps you're not old enough to, but your great-great-grandparents, you know, the Trading Post in the Woods. Well, TradingPostInTheWoods.com, they've taken the old Trading Post to the virtual realm. They teach and equip people how not to be a victim or be the problem when crisis happens, but instead be the solution. They are an American family-owned and operated company formed from their skills and knowledge gained from responding to over 18 major and countless minor disasters, both here in the U.S. and around the world. And they've learned, sadly, that most disaster victims don't even have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicines, for example, to save their lives. Well, they've created simple survival American Heritage Remedies Kit and other natural alternatives to provide help for a host of maladies when there is no doctor, no pharmacy for miles around, or even available. You may not be a medical doctor, but most likely neither was your grandma or her mother. But they used a host of natural remedies to address the ailing things of their families. And you can too. Go to TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Spend some time there. Check it out. We are customers, clients of Trading Post in the Woods. We use their natural remedies and we have them in our pantry for that just-in-case situation. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Pastor Langford, you've done some great work. You were talking about Exodus and Matthew and comparing it to current day. And just go ahead, sir, and continue, because this is so important.
I want to pick it back up in verse 9, where Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." It's imperative that we, the church, we are the ones to engage the battle. Moses was the conduit that God was working through. And I want to say this too. Psalms 105:15 says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." I know I'll get a boatload of blowback on this one as well. But if God has anointed Trump, you better be careful what you're doing. Now, I know there'll be those who say, "God cannot anoint Trump. He's not a Christian. He anointed Cyrus, and he told Cyrus, 'You don't even know me. You don't even know that I exist, but I have anointed you.'" You see, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So Joshua and the men were to go out and fight while Moses went to the top of the hill, Capitol Hill, with the rod of God in his hand. And he went there to fight. And that rod, we know, was used to swallow up Pharaoh's snakes. It was used to part the Red Sea. Moses used it to strike the rock and water came out. The rod just speaks of authority. And, of course, Trump may not have a rod, but he has a pen, like some other man once said, I have a telephone and a pen. And he's using that pen right now to do a lot of things. So the Bible says that Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now, the top there in the Greek is Rosh, R-O-S-H. It means a head person, a leader, a chief, a captain, head of the people, one who has power of being on a throne. I'm not saying Donald Trump is a king. I'm just saying he's been empowered. The power's been invested in him as president of the United States. Joshua did as Moses commanded him, and he began to go and fight with Amalek. Now, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they were at the top of the hill. Moses was the prophet. Aaron was the priest. Hur, if you will remember in your genealogy, was the son of Caleb. Caleb and Joshua were of another spirit. All tribes came, all kings came from the tribe of Judah. Hur was the type of a king. So you got a prophet, a priest, and a king. And as I said, all kings came from the tribe of Judah. So as the church, me as a church leader, as a pastor, as a minister, it's my responsibility to pray for Donald Trump. As church believers of Christ, it's our job to pray for Donald Trump. God has put something in my spirit. The more we pray and cover this man in prayer, the greater victories and battles you're going to see won in this nation. This is an impetus for us to cry out to God. The church just can't seem to handle a victory. We can't seem to handle blessings and prosperity. When God begins to bless, we become apathetic. You know, the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, the church says, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. God said, no, but you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Well, this is the state the church has been. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And God is going to present to himself a glorious church. So there's got to be a turning point somewhere for God's word to be fulfilled. Ephesians 5 and 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. We don't see a church like that right now. But for that Bible verse to come to pass, and God is not a man that he should lie, something has to happen that the church begins to transform itself into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. So Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, intercessory prayer, not just, you know, thank you, Lord, for the wind, thank you, Lord. No, you have to intercede, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I'm looking for a literal harvest of souls in the coming days. All right, as I said, Moses was the prophet. Aaron was the priest. Hur was from the tribe of Judah. That's where the kings came from. As members of the church, as members of the body of Christ, we are kings and priests, Revelation 1 and 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So we have this spiritual authority as kings and priests. Notice I said spiritual. Donald Trump's not a king. I'm not a king. I'm not an Old Testament priest. But in the spirit, we are kings and priests. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's us. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Intercessory prayer is a spiritual sacrifice. We don't offer bullocks, turtle dove, rams, and goats, and flour and meal. We don't make those offerings no more. We're not under the law. But yet Peter said we make spiritual sacrifices. We spiritually fast, and we spiritually pray, and we spiritually cry out to God. This is so pleasing in the sight of God. And this is what Aaron and what Hur were doing in the behalf of Moses. Got to remember now, the man is approaching his latter years. He didn't even begin the Exodus until he was 80 years of age. He would spend 40 years with Israel. His life was divided in three 40-year segments, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years out of Egypt in the wilderness. God was getting the world out of him, and then 40 years leading Israel out of their bondage. And because he was provoked by them and disobeyed God in smiting the rock versus speaking to the rock, God said, I'll let you see the promised land, but I'll not let you go into the promised land. So he suffered because of the people. The Bible said while Moses' hands were held up, Israel prevailed. When Moses' hands fell down, Amalek prevailed. What am I saying? We have to keep holding the man's hands up. No, we can't go up there and get close to him to do that. But we do that in the Spirit. We do that in the Spirit. The Bible said in verse 12 that Moses' hands were heavy. He became weary. I believe Trump, if we don't continue to pray for him, this evil spiritual presence in Washington will break him down, burden him down with all of this. This is spiritual resistance. As I said, these Democrats would not even show up to the hearings. So they had to, you know, impose more rules so they could, you know, put these secretaries in without a Democrat even sitting there. You see, they don't like this change. He said, I'm going to drain the swamp. People don't believe that. We have people accusing him of being a liar. You know, so far the man has done everything he said he's going to do. You know, and they're always trying to change the words on him. Just like Jesus, they always tried to mess with his verbiage. They tried to mess with his words, saying this is a Muslim band. That's not what he said, but that's what they want the American people to believe. This shows you this is the enemy. This shows you they are against him, trying to destroy him. And in the process, folks, they're trying to destroy us. You have to see beyond the veneer. They're trying to destroy, stamp out Christianity, stamp out anything to do with godliness. Now, the Girl Scouts now, the Boy Scouts are going to embrace Boy Scouts, transgenderism. Are you kidding me? We got Girl Scouts now, so why do we need that? The battle will not lessen. It will not wane. It will not abate. It's only going to intensify. I listened to the idiocy, the asininity of what people say that must happen. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's a lie, whatever anybody says. Anything that anybody says, then if they say it opposite to the Word of God, then they're the liars, not God. You don't need to expect the world to ever make a difference in our politics. That'll never happen. The church is the salt. The church is the light. Donald Trump will not bring a revival, but it'll be the church. But he can be a man that says, you know what, I'm going to let the church have their rights back where they can have a voice. Now, God may open that door, but how many will still embrace sodomy? How many will still embrace same-sex marriage? How many will still go down that path of destruction? It won't be God's fault. If legislation is enacted to change that, it won't be Trump's fault. It'll be the so-called church's fault because they would not turn from their wicked ways. Remember, we quote it, but I don't think we listen to it. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the church has got to turn. I don't expect the nation to turn. The nation as a whole will not return like it needs to turn. But the church can, because we know the truth. We know the truth. And so as Moses' hands were held up, they were defeating the Amalekites. But when he became weary and his hands fell down, they began to lose. So what did they do? They took a stone. And they set that stone under Moses. That stone typifies Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, you have a priest, Aaron, Hur, from the tribe of Judah, a type of a king, holding the man of God's hands up. And we must be faithful. We must be persistent. We know that all victories, we know that all battles can be won in the name of Jesus Christ and in the coming days. We cannot let down. We must fight, and we must fight spiritually. I don't want anyone to stop fasting. Don't stop praying. Don't stop crying out to God. As I said last week, I would have puked all over the floor Wednesday morning had they said Hillary Rodham Clinton is the president of these United States. I'm going to get up every day and say, thank God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that at least, maybe you hate Trump like the rest of them, but at least Jezebel is not running the White House, folks. And don't think they're not going to try to create a situation to harm him. Don't think they will try to incite a war and they're going to put the blame. Don't think there are people out there that are going to conspire like Tobiah and Sanballat in Nehemiah chapter 4. Don't think they're not going to try to do something to destroy. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If Jesus Christ was in the White House, they'd be doing the same thing. That this is when you can see through the veneer and see the sin, this is what they would do. Sin, iniquity, wickedness attacks righteousness. I've said this. He gets the right Supreme Court justices appointed. They will reverse Roe v. Wade and say, now what we're going to do is turn this back over to the states. Same-sex marriage, we're going to give it back to the states. I know in North Carolina, we voted. Marriage was between one man and one woman. But the federal judges said, oh no. And then the Supreme Court redefined the 14th Amendment. It has nothing to do with marriage. So this is the very reason we've got to pray. Remember, Daniel fasted and prayed 21 days. And Gabriel said, Daniel, from the very first day, your prayer was heard. But the prince, the demon of Persia, he fought me. Folks, there are demons over Washington, D.C. right now. There is such evil, such vehement poison. I mean, venom. It's dripping from their fangs. It's pouring out from their fangs. Wanting to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I've got such faith. You know, when I get off a fast, my faith is just off the charts. I mean, that's what fasting does. It builds your faith. It just enriches you. And we're entering into a battle, and this battle is not going to stop. This battle is going to only intensify. But listen, Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the last days. Why? He said, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and these idiots. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting demons and principalities and powers of the air. That's what we're fighting. This is why when two men held up one man's hands, they won the battle. But they weren't fighting, were they? Physically. They were fighting spiritually. Hur and Aaron were fighting in behalf of the man of God, holding his hands up because he became weary. But they were not using swords and shields and fighting physically. Joshua and the men were doing that, but the battle was being won because of the spiritual warfare. When the church, the battle's won on our knees. It's not won physically in the open. It's in the closet, crying out to God. And the Bible says, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, that was physical. But with Hur and Aaron holding up Moses' hands, they were fighting with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They were slaying the demonic powers that were empowering the Amalekites to defeat the nation of Israel. We're talking about flesh and blood now. But the battle was won in the Spirit. And this is why we cannot let down right now. I know we're about out of time. He said, write this as a memorial. I want you to make a record of this, Moses. I want you to make an account of this. In other words, I want this to be a celebration. I want you to rehearse it. I want you to rehearse it in remembrance to Joshua as a reminder that Jehovah is one who gives us the victory. And so when that's why it was a memorial. It was put in a book. And he said, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Did you know God can give us such victories we can forget the last 8 years? It'll be as though it were nothing. That's how big God is. Now, that's not going to happen because of senators and congressmen and that people. Now, there's a handful of Christians. No, I believe Mike Pence is a Christian man. I believe there's some Christian people up there. But that's not how it's going to happen. It's going to happen because the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, us people out here in the country, us people out here on the little farm, getting on our faces before God and crying out to God and holding up Trump's hands. Bless the man. Bless him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And pray, God, we turn all these evil people over to Satan that their flesh might be destroyed and their spirit be saved in the day of the Lord. We have power. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us power, and we have to embrace this power. As I said, we're not fighting flesh and blood. It looks like it. I mean, when you look at Chuck Schumer and you look at these idiots up there, Nancy Pelosi, tell them you're a Muslim. I mean, it's hard to imagine how wicked these people are. You know, that open mic, tell them you're a Muslim. This is light and darkness. This is good and evil. This is ungodly, wicked against righteousness. So, you know, Paul said, you've got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I really believe this. Doug and Joe, if the church will really, really press in, and we need to pray for Doug and Joe and the other programs, the other outlets that are telling the truth. Quit watching ABC. Quit watching NBC. Quit watching CBS. Go somewhere and get Christian news. Go to CBN, Pat Robertson. Go somewhere, you know. Even Alex Jones, you'll get more truth out of him than you'll get out of these other idiots and liars. Just like I said, Cecilia Vega said, you know, Steve Bannon said that Islam is a religion of submission. Well, you idiot. That's what the word means, Islam, submission and surrender. You see, everything is a lie. Everything is a misrepresentation of the truth. That's the devil. half God said. That's the first thing he said to Eve, half God said. And listen, people have got their eyes on the man. I don't have my eyes on Donald Trump. I've got my eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God can use anything. Think about this. Elijah the Tishbite was a full-blown Orthodox Jew. And God used a filthy bird called a raven and brought him meat and bread every day until the brook at Cherith dried up. So don't tell me God can't do anything. God can do anything, and he's going to do it his way whether we like it or not. That's why it's like Moses. Moses didn't ask who's on my side with Korah and Dathan and Abiram. He said, who's on the Lord's side? See, I've not chosen sides, you know. I've called and cried out to God. God, deliver us. God, help us. God, give us somebody that will fight for us. And it seems as though the people that right now are up there, I mean, look at that crowd that prayed last night before he made the introduction to this Supreme Court appointee that they want to get passed.
That's
the
right.
People were up there praying. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's right. It was a sight to behold.
Yeah, instead of a rug praying toward the stupid Medina, Mecca, I mean, you had people holding hands and praying to Jehovah. And let me say this. These are very immature Christians. You know, I remember when Donald Trump was at Liberty University, he said, 2 Corinthians, you know, that he doesn't know to say 2 Corinthians. You know, but I thought, hey, there are baby Christians and there are 8th grade Christians and 12th grade Christians and Christians that have master degrees and Christians who have PhD. I'm talking spiritually now. These people aren't where we are. I don't expect Donald Trump to quote scripture like I do. My God, the man, he's been a builder. You expect him to know what I know? He knows stuff I don't know. But I understand to pray for them that are in authority. And the Bible said not only pray, but intercessions. That's not just, you know, a little prayer like over breakfast. That means you get on your knees and you cry out to God. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And I feel like the man is totally isolated. And I feel like just about everyone that's in a place of authority or has a platform, for the most part, they're against him. And again, I'm not lauding, I'm not touting a man. I'm lauding the Lord God of Abraham. I'm telling you, God can do anything. Mary conceived through the Holy Ghost. He opened up a jackass's mouth. He caused the axe head to float. A coin was in the fish to pay Peter and Christ taxes. I mean, he can do anything. And we've got to start believing God for greater things. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't just pray, but believe when you pray. Believe God. Pray for the Hagmans. Pray for each other. Thank God Hillary's not in the White House. My God, we have so much to be thankful for. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, folks. We've had a Amen. Reprieve. It won't last long. But seek God while we have this time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, Pastor, you've done it. You've taken us to the end of the program, and what a spirited program this was. And I just want to say thank you so much for your, just for your sermon. I just love this. I mean, it was electric.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pastor.
We love you guys. We love your audience. And folks, let's all bind together. Love one another, pray one for another, and quit attacking each other. Lift up Amen. Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I love you guys. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That'll do it for us tonight. Till tomorrow.
And tomorrow, we've got Clint Hill, you know, the Secret Service agent that you saw sprawled over the back end of the Kennedy limousine. Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent for the Kennedy detail, coming on with his assistant. Just to give us about an hour's worth of information, it'll be a really interesting segment, historical segment. to be sure.